The High Court ruling yesterday, which deemed aspects of lockdown levels 4 and 3 regulations as unconstitutional and invalid, has left the country asking many questions. The court suspended the ruling for 14 days so that the National Coronavirus Command Council can amend or align the regulations to the said goal under the Disaster Management Act, that of curbing the spread of COVID-19 in the country. Well, to give us his take on this ruling and what it all means, I'm joined on the line by Ulrich Ruh. He's a lawyer and director at Ulrich Ruh and Associates. Thank you so much, Ulrich, for joining us. So when you take a closer look at the judgment yesterday, what about lockdown levels 3 and 4 did you understand Judge Norman Davis to construe as unconstitutional and ultimately invalid?
Hi, good evening. Yes, well, the judge was at pains to point out the irrationality and the unconstitutionality of the regulations. You know, our national state of disaster is governed by the Disaster Management Act. And we've, of course, seen the Act being amended on numerous occasions as our law progresses. But the problem with the Act is that, as with any other legislation in our country, it must be in line with and in accordance with the Constitution, which is our supreme law in South Africa.
Yes.
And the judge found that the irrational restriction on movement, as well as the irrational restriction on the fair trade of small businesses, is evident in the current level 3 and level 4 lockdown regulations. And he has given the government, or more specifically, Ms. Minister Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma,
yes,
14 days within which to amend those regulations, failing which the Act will be regarded as unconstitutional and will effectively fall away.
Right.
So those regulations could fall away if they are not amended within 14 days, or if the government or the Minister Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma does not successfully request an extension of the period in which she can amend them.
Mm. So the government did come out last night to say that they're scrutinising the judgment. Can they appeal this judgment at this stage, or they have to be seen to have at least met with its determination, that is that they must try and align it with the purposes of the Disaster Management Act?
They could appeal the decision. They have one of two options. They can either appeal to the Constitutional Court, because it is the decision is based on constitutional grounds, or they will have to go back to Judge Davis and apply for an application for leave to appeal his judgment. He will then have to decide whether there's any merits in granting them that leave to appeal. But, you know, I must point out that I think it would be very unwise and short-sighted of the government if they would elect to appeal this decision.
Yes.
You know, one would expect them to rather take these 14 days, sit down, be guided by the judgment as well as by their advisors, and try and bring the regulations in line with the Constitution. You know, that is why we have a successful judicial system, and that is why we have our Constitution, so that, you know, the ordinary living of South African members of society can be governed in an orderly fashion.
Yeah.
And one would like to see the government rather take society into their confidence and say, okay, we've now heard what the court has to say. Let's take this time. If we need more, let's rather apply for another week, but let's get these regulations so that they make more sense and that everyone would deem them to be more rational. Because, you know, in the last 2 days, there's been 3 judgments granted against the regulations where the court has found that they are either unconstitutional or just plain wrong and have set them aside. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a situation that we want to avoid.
Let's focus on one of the other judgments that came out today from the North Gauteng High Court around, you know, people not having to go into state quarantine facilities. But, you know, when I think about it, I suppose, I mean, I can't get into the thinking of why the government came up with this. But obviously, we know that there are a lot of people who live in areas where they can't self-quarantine because they live in overcrowded areas and so on and so forth. So perhaps that is why they came up with this law. And do we understand that they were trying to apply it to every single person that contracts coronavirus, or those who actually need it?
Yes. So So that is what the regulation stated, that if a person is infected with the COVID-19 virus, that they need to go into self-quarantine at a state facility. And yes, it was a blanket law just cast over all people who are infected. That has been set aside today by the court. So,
yeah. You
know, one would imagine that the more reasonable way to approach it was to say, if you have adequate facilities at home to self-quarantine, then you must make use of them.
Yes.
If you do not, then you must make use of a state facility. And that would make more sense. But, you know, I've actually had a few people contact me and asking me to represent them where they've been, put into state quarantine facilities where they said that the facilities were completely shocking and they were ill-treated and they would be much better off, you know, self-quarantining for 14 days at their home.
Mm.
And obviously this was the feeling of the court today as well.
What's your sense about what this is going to mean for the tobacco challenge?
Yeah, so I think we must just make it clear that yesterday's judgment did not refer to the ban on tobacco sales. The court made it clear that they are waiting on the pending court case regarding the legality of that. But
yeah.
I do think that it will definitely play a role in the decision that will be made in that matter, whether the ban on tobacco sales must be lifted or not. You know, it must go to a rationality point. You know, in my view, and this is just my personal opinion, but
yeah.
I would have rather have expected that a ban on alcohol should be induced rather than cigarettes, and not ban the limitation on alcohol, because if whether we like it or not, alcohol leads to a high percentage of the trauma cases at our hospitals.
Yes.
And we've seen a remarkable decrease in those incidents since the ban on alcohol came into place.
Yes.
Now we've taken away the ban on alcohol, yet the ban on cigarettes remain, and it's causing severe damage to our cigarette industry and also to the public purse. You know, the official stat that British American Tobacco South Africa came out with yesterday was that they've lost in excess of 2 billion rand of sales in cigarettes, and 2.4 billion rand has been lost for the government in tax revenue from the sale of cigarettes. So,
yeah. You
know, the economy is taking a large strain. And once again, one must look at the rationality behind it. Why
yeah.
are certain regulations being imposed and others not?
Mm.
You know, why are people allowed to travel 10 people in a public taxi where they sit in very close proximity to each other? But for instance, in a hair salon, they're not allowing one person to cut another person's hair and follow the necessary self sanitizing and social distancing protocols.
Mm.
So, you know, certainly food for thought for the government, and one would expect, as I said, hopefully that they use these 14 days to have a close look and scrutinize regulations and try and amend them, bring them in line with the Constitution, and let's tackle this thing together.
Yeah. So what about the status of the National Coronavirus Command Council? Do you think that might be called into question? It has been already by, you know, certain political opposition parties because, you know, people are saying that there's no parliamentary oversight. You know, people have far too much power in that council and so on.
Yeah. Look, I think most of us stress the COVID-19 pandemic is a global pandemic. It is affecting every single country in this world, and it has had severe effects and impact on the global economy. Having said that, we have declared a national state of disaster in this country, and rightfully so. You know, I think when President Ramaphosa declared it, he did so correctly, and then you need to make use of the mechanisms to set certain rules and regulations in which to try and manage this national state of disaster. So there's always going to be a lot of unhappiness with the people who are making the decisions and the rules and the regulations. Whether the appointment of the Command Council is unlawful or invalid, I have my doubts, because those are the ministers in their positions. I just think that we need to continue to scrutinize the regulations and the rules, and make sure that you know, our courts are there to keep government in line and keep our legislation in line and make sure that it is applicable on our daily lives.
Yeah.
As long as we carry on doing that, we should be all right. But I'm not sure whether the setting aside of the Command Council is the right move at this stage.
Mm. Look, we know that government has, set up, the National Coronavirus Command Council with all the best intentions in the world. And even President Ramaphosa did say that, we're doing this with the right spirit, but we know that mistakes can be made along the way. So we know that the sentiment is right. But people are asking the question, if regulations are found to be unconstitutional and invalid and all of that, can people have the right to sue government down the line? Or do you think that the court system would just have a public policy decision not to allow for that because, you'd have massive floodgates opened?
Mm. Well, it's a very interesting question. The point of departure in South Africa is that when an offence is committed, and I'm talking specifically about criminal offence now, is committed and it is in violation of a certain law at that point in time, then yes, that person can be prosecuted. If that law is changed, it does not work retrospectively. It does not mean that the person never committed an offence, because when he committed that offence, that law was in place. So, one could see certain charges being withdrawn against people because they committed that offence at the time, but then the law was changed. But at the time is what counts. It's not, it does not work retrospectively. So the same goes for possible damages claims against the state.
Yes.
At the time, the law was that certain businesses could not operate. If they lost money as a result thereof, then yes, we should consider instituting a damages claim against the government. But the point of departure would be that it was an act. It was enacted at that time. It was law at that time. So it was a decision made by government, since you are to abide by it. Certainly, an open question for our courts, and one that could possibly be determined going forward. Once again, we had quite a lot of queries as well coming to offices about people wanting representation against the government. But I think it is a bit of a grey area at this stage.
Yeah.
If the regulations were to be changed, whether people would have an opportunity to institute a damages claim against the government. Once again, we are in a national state of disaster, and the laws are there to government as smoothly as possible. There's always going to be difficulties there.
Ulrich, thank you very much for your time, sir. That was Ulrich Roux. He's from Ulrich Roux and Associates.